1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. I was toyed with the idea of actually doing the whole rest of the chapter, but nah, not me. We're going to do a whole whopping two verses this morning. As we've talked about, this is a book about real issues. I hope you've gotten that. I hope you've seen that as we've worked our way through 1 John. It's about what's real. What's the truth? What's the truth about God? What is God really like? Who is God? He's been correcting us, hasn't he, through this, about who God is really like, about what a Christian is really like. And today we're going to look at a subject where we see the intersection between who God is and who we are. That's prayer. Because that's what prayer is. It's about us touching him. Him speaking, touching, moved by us. Prayer. And I'm titling these two verses, Confident Prayer, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I was toying this idea earlier this week. I was thinking maybe I'll just do a whole message all about prayer, and I'll just tell them everything I've ever learned about prayer. And then as I got into the message, I realized everything's in the passage. I don't need to even do a topical message. As you're going to see, the principles that we'll try to pull out and talk about prayer, they're things that are in the text, in this text. So verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him. The word for confidence, the Greek word paresia, the root idea of this word is freedom in speaking, but it carries the idea of free, fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, assurance. I like this word. This is a word we've seen before. I brought it up every time I see it because it's like one of my favorite words. I like this idea. I hope that when I speak, I will have bold speaking, that I will have fearless confidence to tell you what I need to tell you. I pray that for my pastor friends, that they will have, I think a word that we use among a pastor is liberty, freedom to speak. We've seen this word several times through 1 John. This is the fourth time this word has appeared, confidence. Once it's boldness, the other three times it's translated confidence. It's kind of one of the things, again, as we've been bringing out, the things that weave this letter together. The book of 1 John, this little letter, can be kind of confusing your first time through it. But the more you dig into it, you realize there actually is patterns to this thing. There actually are themes in this book. There are things that hold this thing together. John wants you to learn to have confidence in your walk. Confidence for the day that you will stand before God. That's one of the uses of this. Here, the issue is confidence in our prayers. God wants you to be confident in how you pray. So this is the confidence that we have in him that, he says, verse 14, if we ask according to his will, he hears us. The word for ask, I'm going to point this out because you'll understand why in a minute. The Greek word is aiteo. It's just a simple word, very common word, to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, to require. This word is what we call is in the present tense, which means it's a continual asking, a continuous asking, that if we are asking anything according to his will. It is also my grammar friends. I never talk about voice, about what's voice, active voice, passive voice. You remember that from your ninth grade English teacher or whatever? This is what's called the middle voice, which means this is asking for ourselves. This is about asking for ourselves. That's kind of interesting. If we are asking, continually asking for ourselves, anything according to his will. The word for will, the Greek word is thelema. It comes from the word thelo, which means to wish, to want, to desire. This means what one wishes or has determined shall be. Will, choice, inclination, desire, pleasure. We're talking about God's will. That's the thing of concern in our passage, is God's will. It's what God wants. Not, this word is not necessarily something that God declares and shall happen.
Thus saith God, boom, that's it, no questions asked.
That's not this word. This is more the heart of God, the desire, the pleasure of God. This is what God really wants. So verse 14, he's saying, if we ask, he hears. There's a logical connection here. If we ask God for things that are according to his will, then he hears us. Let me just stop for a second, though, and talk about when he doesn't hear us. A concerned husband goes to his doctor to talk about his wife. He says to the doctor, "Doctor, I think my wife is deaf because she never hears me the first time and always asks me to repeat things." "Well," the doctor said, "go home and tonight stand about 15 feet from her and say something to her. If she doesn't reply, move about 5 feet closer and say it again. Keep doing this so that we'll get an idea about the severity of her deafness." Sure enough, the husband goes home and he does exactly as he's instructed. He starts off about 15 feet from his wife, who's in the kitchen. She's chopping vegetables, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" He hears no response. So he moves about 5 feet closer and he asks again. Again, no reply. He moves about 5 feet closer, still no reply. He's getting a little fed up. So he moves right behind her about an inch away and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she replies, "For the fourth time, vegetable stew." I'm waiting for some of you who are a little bit slower, because that one kind of has to sink in, doesn't it? Yeah, so who was really the deaf one? Yeah. There you go. You got it. When we say that God doesn't hear, I don't mean that God has taken out his hearing aid or has it turned down. The idea is that he doesn't pay attention to our prayers. Because, friends, sin can block our prayers so that God won't hear. Sin can block our prayers. It can block our prayers. Isaiah put it this way, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Now, to be honest, just totally honest here, I don't know that I would call this an absolute principle, because I have found at times that God does answer the prayers of people who are in rebellion to him. Sometimes out of just mercy and grace, God will answer their prayers. And as far as people who are in rebellion to God, there is a prayer that God will listen to every time. And that's when we're asking him for forgiveness. David wrote, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." I tell you, friends, even if you are a person who's got your fist up in God's face, this is one prayer that God will listen to you about. When you finally admit, like some of us are, I'm kind of slow to do, but to admit, "I'm wrong, I screwed up," this is something God will pay attention to. Now, if you are thinking that God hasn't been answering your prayers, if that thought has occurred to you, let me suggest something to you. This is, again, something that David wrote and prayed. We just sang it this morning. We sang it this morning. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me," or "test me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes if I'm not sure that my prayers are getting through, it's not a bad idea to say, is it me? Is there something in me? God will hear you. God will show you. And if he isn't showing you something, don't go looking for it. Verse 15 in our text. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, there's one more Greek word, and we'll be done with our Greek stuff for a while. I think. Maybe not. We'll see. I like Greek. The word for petitions, aitema, means a request, denotes a specific petition for a particular thing. I like that thing specific. Pay attention to that. It's a specific petition. Aitema comes from a word I've already showed you, aiteo, the word to ask. And in fact, if you're trying to look for things that tie things together, make the connections in the scripture, verses 14 and 15, this idea of asking is all through here. You see, look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Do you see how many times the word ask or asking or whatever is? You see that three times. And you see this petitions. That's the same word. It's just the noun form of the verb. So what we're talking about today, it's all about asking. It's all about, in fact, let's be a little more specific. It's about learning to make specific requests when we pray. It's important that I learn to make my prayers specific. Okay, let's say that after this morning's stunning message, you will leave here this morning going, oh, I got to learn to pray more. And so you come away thinking, well, but he's going to tell me don't overdo it. So I'm going to make a commitment today on my own that I'm going to pray a whole 60 seconds every day. Now, don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. Because actually, I'd be way more happy that you came away doing that than with the promise that you're going to pray to God for 4 hours every day, which you will never do yet. You know, prayer is a thing you grow into. And you may not be able to handle 4 hours. I can't do 4 hours. Not yet. But I'll tell you what, I can go a whole lot longer than I used to. It's kind of like walking. When we finally started walking after my health issue, you know, this year, we walked to Polly's. And it's not that far from our house to Polly's. And it's slightly down here. I was winded just going to Polly's. And coming back, I had to stop like two or three times because my heart was... My wife will tell you, my heart was like boom, 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 boom. Well, you know what? Now walking to Polly's, nothing. Nothing. I mean, my gosh, what I do every day, that's nothing. But you got to work at it. You got to keep increasing. Same with prayer game. So let's just say for the sake of argument, you're going to set aside 60 seconds every day to pray. And so you start off tomorrow morning and you say, God, would you, okay, here we go, ready, go. God, would you bless my marriage? God, bless my kids. God, bless my work. God, bless us, everyone. Amen. No, that's okay. And if that's the way you're going to start, don't stop. But can I suggest if you got 60 seconds with God, could you be a little more specific? Instead of saying, God bless my marriage, how about, God help me communicate better with my wife? You see what I'm going with that? That's a little more specific. Maybe instead of saying, God bless my kids, how about, God help me to spend more quality time with my sons? Or instead of saying, God bless my work, how about, God, would you help me to have your heart for the people I work with? Would you help me to do a better job for you? Help me to represent you better at work. You see how that's a little more specific? Maybe God help me to be a more forgiving man. Let's pretend that you are standing in a room. Now watch as we set up all these fine empty Coke bottles. So you are in a room that is filled with empty Coke bottles, and you are given an assignment. Your assignment is to fill the Coke bottles with water. Are you with me? And the person giving you this assignment hands you a hose. And you're smart. You think to yourself. And you put on the end of the hose a nozzle. And you set it to fine mist. And you just point it up in the air, fold your hands, and just wait for those things to get filled. Guess what? I'll bet it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time to fill those bottles. But if you take the nozzle off and you fill each bottle one at a time, you will get the job done much quicker. Because instead of the fine, sorry, Peter, instead of the fine spray going out, you're being more specific by filling each bottle. Are you with me? That's why it's so important, beloved, to learn to get specific with your requests. Verse 14, it says, if we ask. Now, let me just remind you that this word ask was the present tense, talking about, meaning that asking is a continual asking. And the lesson I want to pull from this is persistent prayer, continual prayer, persistent prayer. There are people out there, and you maybe have heard some of them. If you turn on the TV, you'll probably run into some of them, these guys who talk a lot about faith. And they will, I have heard some people say that they've been taught that you shouldn't pray about anything more than once. Because if you pray more than once, it shows that you have a lack of faith. And that if you pray with faith, if you pray believing, you only need to pray once. I'd say that's the biggest bunch of hooey in the world. I would say learn to read your Bible. I would say learn to listen what Jesus says about prayer. Watch what Jesus says. He's going to tell us a story. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Have you ever had the phone ring at midnight? We have. We do have. And I'll tell you, we will look at the caller ID. And if it's somebody I want to talk to, I'll let it go. If it's somebody that's very important to me, well, we'll grab it. We'll pick it up instantly. But if it's, I mean, for some of you, if you call me at midnight, I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The word persistence, the New Living Translation translates it, shameless persistence, shameless persistence. The point that Jesus is trying to make is not that God is a lazy friend who doesn't want to get out of bed. The point is that the prayers that God answers are the ones where you keep knocking. You know, you've let the thing go to voicemail and then the phone rings again. And then you put it to voicemail and then the phone rings again. God answers persistent prayers. God answers persistent prayers. My friends, we need to learn to pray and keep praying. Don't buy into this once only thing, once and done. That's silly. I think that there's a sense, I don't want you to get the wrong idea with this, but I think there's a sense that the answer to your prayer is tied to the answer to this question. How bad do you want it? No. Now please, the reason I'm reluctant about showing you that question is because I don't want you to get the wrong idea about God. Not like he's stingy with his answers. But sometimes, for your own good, he's trying to draw you out. How big of a deal is this to you? How bad do you want this? How bad do you want this? Are you willing to commit to drawing near to God and praying for this thing every day for a year? Or is it possible that it really isn't that big of a deal to you? Sometimes I find that if I pray for the same thing every day, when I'm being honest, and it's good to be honest when you're praying, but I find that sometimes I begin to evaluate my own motives in the request. God, I believe that you want to give me $1 million. And I'm confident in this, God. And it would solve everything. It would solve everything. That's day one. Day two. God, I need $1 million. I think that would really be helpful. Day three. God, I really don't need $1 million. Maybe 500,000? And as I go on praying for things, you know what? Sometimes I get convicted over the things I'm asking. Sometimes I realize, God, I need to change. And I need to stop spending money that doesn't belong to me. There's value in persistent prayer, especially when you're trying to be honest with yourself. Because sometimes you find out that it really isn't the request that you're needing, it's me that needs to change. Some things simply require a lot of prayer. George Mueller, he's a fellow, lived in the 19th century, 1800s. He was famous for a lot of things. One of them, among his incredible work among orphans, something like 10,000 orphans that he helped through the years. He was also known as a great man of prayer. And we know some of the things that he prayed for. In particular, he had two friends who didn't know the Lord. When he came to know Christ, they didn't. And he was quite concerned for them for his entire life. And he prayed for these fellows regularly, every day, for 50 years. Now, I don't know about you. I would have given up. I was like five minutes. Not even 5 years sometimes. You know, my attention span's so short. He prayed for 50 years for these friends. On his deathbed, one of them came to Christ. After he died, the other came to Christ. Now, what if the thing you're thinking about that you need so desperately? Oh, I'm thinking about some of the things you're thinking about. But what if some of them were 50-year projects? Yeah. What if? And what if you quit? Now, when it comes to persistent prayer, I don't know about you, but I don't know what kind of a brain you have. I got a leaky brain. My brain leaks all the time. I can't remember one thing from another. Sometimes I'll be down in my office, which is downstairs, and I'll think of something. I'll go, oh my gosh, I got to go do this thing up in our bedroom. And I put my stuff down at my desk, and I tie everything up, and I start up the stairs, and I start the next set of stairs, and I get into our bedroom, and what was I here for? Do you ever do that? I do that all the time. I'm always so forgetful. And so the idea for me, when I think about persisting in prayer and praying for the same thing over every day, you know what? I'm just afraid I'm going to forget. And so, friends, I have learned over the years to develop the discipline of a prayer list. Used to be I had it printed out on a piece of paper that I would write notes on it. I have a couple copies of those from years ago. Now I'm much more tech savvy, and I do this, you know, with my phone, and it's all synced with my iPad, and it's all computer savvy stuff. It's really cool. I can look at it online wherever I'm at, and that keeps me going, and that it floats my boat, so that's what I do. But I create a prayer list, and I learn to be specific. I have a section for my family. I pray for my family first every day. I pray for my job, my ministry, the church. I pray for me every day, because I don't know if you realize it yet, but I need help. and you need help. You need help, and you need to pray for yourself. And I've learned to manipulate this thing, to massage this thing, I've got about 10 things that I pray for myself for every day. It's actually the biggest list of any individual is praying for me. And I'm learning to get specific on these things. Think about it, gang. Think about it. Back to our text. If we pray according to his will, it's about God's will. And some of you are already well aware of this. The ultimate secret to getting your prayers answered is praying for the right things. It's not about having the magic 50 pounds of faith to twist God's arm. It doesn't work that way. It's not about learning the magic words. It's not if even if learning to prayeth in King James-eth English. Really doesn't make any difference. And it really actually doesn't make any difference whether you pray silently or whether you pray out loud. The point is that you learn to pray, and you learn to pray according to God's will. Now, some people, these faith teachers, will talk about that we have to demand that God do things, and that's how you get your prayers answered. You are a child of the king, and so you put down your foot and you say, I want this thing. I don't know about you, but I have a real hard time thinking that I'm going to be pointing my finger at God and telling him anything. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's the right perspective. I think we need to approach God with humility, with asking him. But the trick is, how do I find out his will? Well, look at how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Even Jesus prayed to pray according to God's will. One of the most important concepts of prayer is the idea that we are partnering with God to get his will done on earth. You find that in the prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer. You know that line, your kingdom come, your will be done? Or maybe you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us that what we ought to be praying is for his will to get done on this earth, just like it is in heaven, because it gets done in heaven. I got to tell you, the angels do what God asks. They do. In heaven, they do what God asks. Us, not so much. And so me learning to pray is all about me learning to partner with God to find his will and to get his will done on this earth. That's what it's about. So how do I know God's will? Well, let me give you two big tools in trying to figure out God's will. There's plenty others. This is just, I'm going to give you two. The first one, obvious to me, God's word. Paul writes, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible has the answers, most of the answers, most of the answers. Doesn't have all of them. Doesn't tell you which repair guy to call when your refrigerator breaks. Just be honest with you. It won't tell you that. But it has most of the answers. There are some things in the Bible that are very clearly spelled out. Things that are clearly told to us are God's will. For example, salvation. It is God's will that people be saved. How do I know that? 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior who desires, and guess what? That's our word, theleo. That's our word. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, will all men be saved? No. Does God want all men to be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. God wants all men to be saved. Maybe you haven't opened your heart yet to the Lord. Does God want you to open his heart, your heart to him? Absolutely. He's dying for you too. Let me clarify that. He died for you too. Oh my, how he wants. This is the day. It is God's will. You want to get a prayer answered like that? You ask God to save you. It is God's will that you be saved. It's God's will that we learn to do good. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is, look at it, the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Sometimes, you know, you want to kind of get even. You know, somebody at work's really jerk and a turkey, and you've got to get, and I'm going to, God, break his arm. David prayed that in the Psalms, you know, break his arm, break his teeth, God, I pray that, God. And then your chance comes to break his teeth. And you know what? It's God's will that you do good. Don't smash him in the face. Do good. You'll silence him by doing good. It's God's will that you be Spirit-filled. Some people get kind of freaked out about the Holy Spirit, and they're afraid about opening their lives up to the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be afraid. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand, look at this, what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, it's a waste of time, but be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will that you be filled. It's God's will that you open up all that you can as you are learning. Keep opening up to the Spirit of God. Keep saying, God, I want more of you in my life. I want you to overflow my life. I want you to empower my life. I want you to strengthen my life. I want all that you have for me. There's nothing to be afraid of. This is God's will that you be that way. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not God's will that you be strange. It's not God's will that you become a freak. Because some of us are afraid that if I get too spiritual, I'm going to become a freak. God doesn't make freaks. God does works of beauty. Some of us turn ourselves into freaks. Don't blame God for that. God does a work of beauty. It's God's will for purity. Maybe you know a guy or a gal who's caught your eye and you're beginning to think a lot about them. And let's say that some of your thoughts towards them are not all that pure. Paul writes, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's rough translation, sex outside of marriage. That's God's will for you. Now, does that mean it's wrong that I'm attracted towards them? No, I didn't say that. And if they are a believer like you are a believer, then you got a green light so far. Nothing wrong if they're a believer and you're a believer. Now, if they're not a believer and you are a believer, you know, danger, Will Robinson, danger, pull back. You know, you're running into trouble here. But if they're a believer, it's not wrong that you necessarily pursue it, but it is not God's will that you get involved with sexual immorality. Not at all. If you want to pray a prayer that is according to God's will, then ask God to help you to treat that person with purity. So, one of the ways that we learn God's will, these are just samples. One of the ways we learn God's will is through his word. The other way that we learn his will is through prayer. I think that's an excellent way that we figure out what God's will is. If you don't see the answer in the Bible, if you don't know the answer yet, pray. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying something that actually was not God's will. He said, is there a plan B? If we're only praying according to God's will, he shouldn't have prayed that, huh? But he threw it out there and then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. My friends, sometimes the process of finding his will comes through prayer. Like we talked about persistent prayer and how sometimes God kind of sorts it out in my head as I keep praying and I keep asking. And after a while, I get kind of embarrassed. I kind of get to thinking, this is not the right thing. Keep praying. God will show you what his will is. Ask for God's guidance. He will show you. It says in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have before him. This is a hint, gang, at faith. The Bible teaches that faith is important when it comes to prayers. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I think the words confidence in our passage, also that phrase, we know that we have these requests, that's confidence. That's confidence that God's going to answer these things. Do I have confidence that God has heard my prayer? Do I have confidence in what God is going to do? I don't know that I always I don't know that I should always be confident in exactly what God is going to do to answer my prayer. What if God's will is different from mine? What if God sees things that I don't? But I can be confident that God is going to answer my prayer. Do you see the difference? I may not be confident in what it is. You will give me the $1 million by next Friday. Yes, I believe it. Hallelujah. No, but I believe that you've heard my request. And I believe you will answer my request according to what's good. I am confident that you have heard me. Now, that's a little different, isn't it? What if I don't like God's answer? What if God lets my grandfather die? What if my company folds and I'm laid off? What if this difficult time I've been going through doesn't end tomorrow like I want, and it goes on for 2 more years? What if I think that God's let me down? We wonder that sometimes. We wonder if God has let us, if God's dropped us.
Catherine and I are working on a trust exercise, and she's going to fall, and I'm going to catch her. So, step forward just a hair. Put your arms out.
Why can't you do this to Caroline?
Trust me, Catherine. Go ahead and fall. No, you put your leg back. Don't put your leg back. Stand up straight. Put your arms out for me. Now, I'm going to catch you. Okay, I promise. Go ahead and fall. And I see, I'm catching you, but you're putting your foot back. Don't
Daddy,
put your foot back.
Maybe you're catching
me. Just a minute, sweetheart. I'll be right with you, okay? Sit right there. Put your arms out.
Daddy!
Catherine!
No!
Oh, no!
Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like God turned his head for a moment and dropped you? I think the reason why the trust fall thing doesn't always work is for another reason.
And close your eyes and just fall down, okay?
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes, okay.
Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
Thank you, Kimmy. I think the problem that we think God has failed us is because we've fallen in the wrong direction. God wants us to grow in our confidence in Him. I think I need to keep challenging myself. Am I thinking about God's character, who He is? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I trust him? Is he good? Does he know what he's doing? Even if I don't get what I'm asking, do you believe he knows what he's doing? Do you believe he knows what he's doing? Yeah. We can have confidence in him. Confidence that he's heard me. I've laid this before my papa. And he is good. He's not against me. He's for me. I can trust him. He says, when we do this, verse 15, we have the petitions that we've asked. That's answers. Now, I got to tell you, God doesn't have a standard answer. He's got lots of different answers. Sometimes the answer is no. Problem is, usually with me, it takes a long time for me to realize that the answer is no, so I get myself into trouble. But sometimes he answers, and God says, no, you don't really need the $1 million. I want you to stay alive. You know, I want you to be okay. I want you to be healthy. You know, sometimes he doesn't give me what I ask for. Sometimes when God answers our prayer with a yes, the problem is I don't quite understand how this is supposed to take place. Sometimes the thing I'm asking for actually requires a little cooperation on my part. Sometimes. Not all the time. Sometimes God says, stand and see the salvation of God. And he does it all for us. Sometimes. But sometimes he says to Moses, as the Red Sea was parted, he says, what are you standing here for? Get up and get across the Red Sea, for Pete's sake. Sometimes you and I partner. We have sometimes we have a responsibility in seeing how this thing is answered. If I'm asking God for a new job and I never go out and fill out a single application, I got news for you. God probably got another lesson to teach you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The story goes that a big storm was on the horizon, and the police cars went through the small farming community to warn the citizens to head for the high ground. Farmer Bill heard about the warning, but decided he was going to just stay put and trust God. So the rain begins to fall, the water begins to rise, firemen come by in a boat, and they offer to evacuate Farmer Bill, but he says, no, I'm just going to stay put, and I'm just going to trust God. Finally, Bill has to climb on top of the roof. Bill, get up on the roof. There we go. Get up. He has to get up on the roof of his barn to get away from the raging flood. A helicopter comes by offering him assistance. But Farmer Bill, he's a man of faith. And he says, no, I'm just going to trust God. When Bill got to heaven, he's a bit upset with God. And he says to God, I trusted you. You didn't rescue me. How come I died? And God gently replies, Bill, I sent a police. He's got a Jewish accent, you know. He says to Bill, Bill, I sent a police car, a rescue boat, and a helicopter. Oi, what else did you want? You understand? Sometimes the yes actually involves you. Sometimes the thing you're asking for, sometimes there's a part you play in it. Sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes I don't see the answer and it's right in front of me.
Hello, I'm the world.
And I'm trying to pray. Do you mind?
Oh, no. No,
here
I'm sorry.
Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord,
I just thought we were
going to,
you know, do the
Hello, do you not see I'm having a conversation with the Almighty? Here am I, Lord, send me.
Where's he going to send you, to sign language school?
No, he's going to send me to all the people that are hurting in the world that need to know the Lord. Shh, here am I, Lord.
Oh, you know what? I'm hurting. In fact, just last week I had this situation where I didn't know what I was going
to
do.
Okay. Do you not see that I'm praying to God? I'm trying to get instruction on where to go next, okay? And that voice is a still, small voice. It's still, and it's small, and it's a voice. And your voice is big, and it's animated, and it's loud, and it overpowers anything. Well, you see where I'm going with this. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Sorry. Just thought maybe God was...
Okay, God, we're going to have to finish this a different time in a different place because someone keeps interrupting. Hear that pop? Those are my prayer knees. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Maybe God was sending you to me. Because I'm hurting.
Sometimes the answer is right there. I'm looking for the white on the big charger to come in and rescue or whatever. And maybe it's like the thing that's standing right in front of you. You may have to rethink some things. Now, what if it seems that God hasn't said yes, and I'm not quite so sure that he said no, then there's a third answer. Wait. That's where the persistence in prayer comes in, beloved. Sometimes God just, he may not be saying nothing. And he's just waiting you to keep it coming. Keep it coming. This is one of those 50-year things. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep praying until he answers. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I would like to ask in Jesus' name that you would unleash the church in prayer. I pray, Father, that a few more would pray a little more. Help us not to get discouraged when things aren't working the way we're thinking they should. Because, God, you are faithful, and you are always on time. Always. Help us to cultivate patience in prayer. To know that you will do what is right. Help my brothers and sisters in their prayer life. I would pray, Lord, for any of my friends here who have never taken that first big step, which is to open their heart to you. And I pray that today is the day that they say yes. And I pray that today is the day that they stop and say, God, I need you. I open my heart to you. I want to turn around.